You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the kid counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Sasha in Oregon. And Sasha is writing about a challenging session that she had with one of her clients and hoping to get some insight. This is a 9-year-old boy and just kind of dealing with some family dynamics and incorporating parents and things like that. So I'm going to read parts of Sasha's email and then we'll dive in. And Sasha, I'm going to provide a disclaimer for you and I guess everyone else too, the thousands of you that are listening. I am going to be really blunt and clear that everything that I'm going to tell you is CCPT adherent. And a lot of what happened in your session that you're describing is not. And so I just want to be really clear that my response is going to be exclusively child-centered. And a lot of what you are doing with this family is not. And so I'm not really sure exactly how you integrate the two, but I just want you to be mindful that I only am CCPT. And so I can't provide you with any suggestions other than that. Okay, so let's read parts of this and then we'll dive in. I mostly practice from an emotionally focused family therapy lens, but with younger kids, I've been using CCPT. I had a challenging session with one of my clients last week I was hoping to get some advice with. My client is a 9-year-old boy. He's the oldest of 3 siblings. He struggles with anger and becomes physically aggressive towards his mom and middle brother regularly. When the mom removes herself, he ends up breaking something and then going to his room. He has been able to identify that he feels like his siblings get all the attention, and then he gets frustrated when they won't leave him alone when asked what is going on with him when he gets angry. He says, "I just needed some space." I've been working with the parents to promote positive discipline strategies, choice giving, enforcing neutral limits, and avoiding power struggles, and quality one-on-one time with my client. Mother and client now read together every night. Okay, everything you said there, Sasha, fully CCPT adherent. So all of our strategies, all of our tools, all of our techniques, all of our psychoeducation and directive type of conversations are with parents, caregivers, adults, stakeholders in the child's world. So when you are psychoeducating limits and choice giving and avoiding power struggles, when you're psychoeducating one-on-one time, that is fully adherent to the model. And you should absolutely continue to do that when you meet with parents. Okay, all of this has been helping disrupt the negative cycle, but I wanted to help my client also develop some tools for processing his feelings. All right, that sentence right there is where you're no longer CCPT. As soon as we say, "I want to help my client develop tools," you are taking over and it is now your control over the therapeutic process. So everything that follows, and the session that you said was actually difficult for you and you felt that it was discouraging, I would argue it's because you veered away from CCPT and now all of a sudden you're trying to control the outcomes and you're trying to control the child's process and progress. So let me continue reading. Last week I had a session with the mother and the client. Okay, let's pause right there. CCPT never has parent in the room. So if you are doing a family play session, family play therapy is its own theory. It is its own approach. So if you are doing a family play session where parents and children come in and play together and you are therapeutically involved in dialogue, that would be adherent to the child-centered approach. But having mom in with your client in a session, that's problematic in several ways. First and foremost, your confidentiality lies with the client, the child, the 9-year-old boy. How can you preserve that child's confidentiality when mom is in the room? You can't. Kids are super protective of the people that they love. So that 9-year-old client is not going to be willing and able to be vulnerable and open and transparent with mom in the room. And especially if you already have set a precedent that you are child-centered and the child gets to be in charge and that the relationship he has with you is paramount in the healing process, now all of a sudden a third party in the room, it disrupts the whole relationship and flow. So moving forward, I think that if you're going to be CCPT with your clients, you have to honor and preserve the model, which is that parents are never included in the session. So let me continue. We discussed the brain in the palm of the hand and worked on coming up with alternative strategies for expressing anger that don't involve physical aggression and destruction of property. Okay. Well, actually, let me keep reading. Throughout the entire 45-minute session, my client pretty much only said no. He said it in a teasing way like kids do when they copy each other, as if he was testing limits and gauging how I would react. I tried to just reflect his behavior, content, and emotion, but his response to everything I said was no. I tried only asking open-ended questions and using humor and playing along, but he just kept holding his ground. All right. So, Sasha, that should have been your red flag cue right there. This is no longer effective. This is no longer age appropriate. And this is no longer adherent. So he's saying no because kids aren't verbal. Kids aren't cognitive. Kids aren't rational. They don't have abstract reasoning. And you talking about the brain and the palm of the hand and alternative strategies and expressing anger that doesn't involve physical, that's hard for me to make sense of. And I'm an adult and I possess all of those qualities. He's 9. He's not verbal. He doesn't want to talk. He's not capable of talking. He feels his way through things. He experiences his way through things. He doesn't think. He doesn't have abstract reasoning. He's not rational. He's not intellectual. He's not cognitive. Everything that you just described is putting him in his head, and that's not where he lives. He lives in his heart. So when he keeps going, no, 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 not only is that him shutting down the dialogue because he's uncomfortable, it's a fracture in the relationship because he no longer trusts you and he's no longer relating to you. Mom's in the room, so that's a whole other dynamic. And everything that's going on is not developmentally appropriate. So no wonder he's not playing along, that this is way too much for him. So then you said every once in a while when I suggested a coping... Sorry, let me go back. You said I only asked open-ended questions. Really helpful rule of thumb. Questions put kids in their heads and they live in their hearts. If you know enough to ask a question, you know enough to make a statement. We should never ask kids questions. Open-ended, closed-ended, doesn't matter. Any kind of questions, they should never be uttered in a child-centered playroom. We make statements. We reflectively respond. We use pillars. We have all kinds of strategies, but we never ask questions. So a really easy guarantee to get a one-word answer is to ask a kid a question because they're not verbal and they're not rational. So that's another piece of the puzzle. So then you said every once in a while when I suggested a coping strategy, he would say, that sounds satisfying. And I would reflect that and add it to our list. Toward the end of the session, he put scotch tape over his mouth, his eyes, his forehead, and his ears, and used gestures to direct me to write no on his mouth, yes on his forehead, and maybe on his eyes. And then he would point to an area in response to my questions. Man, kids are amazing. So, Sasha, all I'm envisioning, I'm literally closing my eyes, imagining that unfolding in a play session. And all I'm seeing is he brought it back to what he wanted to do in the first place, which was play. He's being forced into this adult, rational, logical, cognitive conversation that he doesn't want to have. He's being asked questions. He's being talked to about coping strategies. His mom's in the room. All of these circumstances are making it really, really difficult for him to feel comfortable as a 9-year-old boy. And he turns it into a game. And he turns it back to play because that's really all he wants to do. And that's all he's developmentally capable of doing. So he puts tape all over his face and has words on it, and then he starts pointing because he makes it playful and fun because that's the only way that he can handle it. This is another indication that CCPT is more well-suited for a 9-year-old boy. So then, in thinking more about the session, I think he was maybe demonstrating his resistance to therapy and his discomfort with the process and testing my boundaries. I'm thinking this might be a good example of a case where CCPT will be much more effective than a directive approach. 100% yes and amen, Sasha. High five on that one. In the past sessions, when I have not been directive, he just sits in a chair or wants to play his Nintendo Switch. Parenthesis, I probably need to have a limit around screens in the room. Yes and amen. High five on that one, Sasha. Playrooms are a screen-free zone. So kids will never bring a phone, a device, a tablet, a switch, a video game, anything related to devices or electronics in a playroom. So that is 100% worthy of a limit. And let me circle back. You said he just sits in a chair. When a child is told you can play with all the toys in most of the ways that you want and you're in charge, if a child chooses to sit in a chair, that's his choice. It doesn't mean that nothing's happening. It doesn't mean that it's a wasted session. It doesn't mean that we need to do something. If he's choosing to sit in a chair, he needs to sit in a chair. He's not warmed up yet. He's not sure of the process. He's still building relationship with you. He's a little bit resistant. He's avoiding the work that he needs to do. He's tired. He isn't quite sure. He's never been given an opportunity to be in charge before. So this is a different experience for him. There are 1,000 reasons why a child will choose to just sit in a chair. It doesn't mean that it's not therapeutically valuable. So we can't use that as a gauge. All he does is sit in a chair. He's choosing to sit in a chair today. He won't choose to sit in a chair forever. There's reason for it. There's purpose behind it. Everything in a play session is meaningful. Okay, I struggle with how to handle resistance and probably need to do some self of the therapist work in this department, cultivating greater patience and letting go of my urgency around fixing things for clients. All right, Sasha, that's the most introspective thing that's been in this email, and we all are in that boat. We all have an urgency. We all want things to improve. We all feel pressure from outside stakeholders. We all struggle to fully let go and trust the process. But once we work through that, and once we are fully adherent, there is peace and freedom in the letting go. So yes, we absolutely have to do our own work to do this work. I said that in an episode a while back, and I've been using it all the time. We have to do our own work to do this work, hands down. How do you handle it when kids just say no to every reflection? Do you just keep reflecting their resistance? I think he was only resistant because it wasn't CCPT. So I don't think he would be resistant in a child-centered playroom without mom in there, without directives, without questions, without agenda. I think if he was told, you're in charge, you're the boss, you get to decide what we do, I don't think he would be resistant at this stage. When he hits resistance phase, would he possibly be resistant? Yes, but I don't think we would be there right now. Okay, then your final paragraph. I should add that the session felt discouraging for me, but that evening I got an email from mom stating that my client's younger brothers were getting upset, and my client excitedly showed them the wheel of choice that we had made. They spun the wheel, ended up scribbling for a while and forgetting all about why they were upset to begin with, so I guess he was taking in more than I thought. Potentially, but what I hear in that is he got to show expertise. He got to demonstrate competence. He got to be in a position of power. He got to teach his brother something. And then it turned into a playful game, which is exactly what kids want to do. They want to have fun and they want to play. So I think that it stoked his need to build self-confidence and self-esteem. He got to provide information to his brothers that they didn't have. I don't think it was that it rationally or cognitively registered. I think it was a tool by which he was able to have an elevated position with his brothers when they usually get all the attention. Guess what? He became the center of attention when he got to teach them all of that stuff. So I think that was really a means to an end for him more than it was that he actually learned something from the wheel, because he's 9. And that type of stuff is too cognitive, too high level for a child that doesn't possess abstract reasoning. So, Sasha, thank you so much for the email. I hope that that was encouraging to you. I hope that that equips you with some strategies to be fully adherent, fully bought into the process. CCPT is very simple in its framework, but it is not easy. And there's a lot of work that goes into being adherent in a playroom. So this is a never-ending, growing, learning, and striving process for us. And so I really appreciate the email, Sasha. Thank you for sharing that. And I hope that that was encouraging to all of you. All right. I love y'all. Hope you have a great week. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.